Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez on this Monday, March 25th, 2024. We're now joined by basketball insider Jared Sutton. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Okay, first things first, I proposed this question in the 6 o'clock hour, and now you must answer it. Of the remaining 16 teams that are in the Sweet 16, how many have you seen live this season?
Let's see. I think I've seen all of them minus San Diego State.
You knew the answer. You knew
no,
the answer,
I didn't.
Smartass.
How ridiculous. You just didn't even think about it.
Ridiculous.
It was 15, and I said 15. Yeah.
I said all of them. I was one off.
You lost.
I'm mad about that, too, because I was just out west. And I was trying to see San Diego State, but the game overlapped with a different game that I had to be at. So I didn't get a chance to see them live.
But you've seen live 15 of the 16 teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that, Jake? So, say something, Jake.
I wanted to check his work.
Okay.
Are you sure it's not 14?
Jake gave you no credit. He's always board. Seen 14.
Jake guessed 14. I guessed 15. Nate guessed 16.
It's a good guess. Yeah. All good guesses.
There's only one really good guess was mine.
Okay.
You know?
Wasn't a guess. I don't know.
I've never asked you that. Have I before,
something
Jared?
Something smells here.
How would I know?
Guess. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he doesn't think so, but he doesn't know.
Okay. Now, before we get into the men's tournament, because we talk women's basketball on our podcast, House of Hustle, brought to you by Charlie Hustle. And you... First of all, what a day today if you're a women's college basketball fan. At 1 o'clock, Ole Miss and Notre Dame. 3 o'clock, Tennessee, NC State. 5 o'clock, Syracuse and UConn. 5:30, Oklahoma and Indiana. Lebo has already declared that Oklahoma is going to lose big to Indiana. West Virginia takes on the one seed Iowa at 7 o'clock on ESPN. So Caitlin Clark at 7 o'clock on ESPN. 7:30 is Creighton and UCLA. Then at 9 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN, Kansas against the one seed USC, and then Utah and Gonzaga at 9:30. And so you get a double hit. Really, I mean, you get three of the best players in women's college basketball at 5 o'clock with UConn, at 7 o'clock with Iowa, and at 9 o'clock with USC. And so you get to see the elite in back-to-back-to-back games on ESPN with Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark and then Juju Watkins. And you were the one on our podcast several, last month, whenever it was, when you were singing the praises of freshman Juju Watkins with USC, who scored 23 in her first-round game, so that set the single-season scoring record for USC. All-American as a freshman. She's had 13 games of 30 or more points, which is now one more than Caitlin Clark did as a freshman, and that's the most 30-point games by a freshman in the last 25 years. In women's college basketball, and we get to see Kansas with some good local talent, Nate Buchady, as an 8 seed, go up against one of the stars of basketball, Juju Watkins. So let's start there. Everyone knows how great Caitlin Clark is, and that'll be the first part of that at 7 o'clock. But then tell me, for the people that will tune in to watch Kansas, what they will be seeing in Juju Watkins.
Yeah, so you're probably seeing the first overall pick. I think it's 2026 when she's eligible for the WNBA draft. So she is an elite talent, very similar to Caitlin. She's a little bigger than Caitlin, a little stronger in terms of just kind of frame and her position. She's more wing than point, but she can play point. but a big-time shot maker and scorer. You know, I think for Juju, it'll be the evolution similar to Caitlin in her college career when Caitlin was, you know, Caitlin was a freshman. It was very, you know, much more of a scorer, shooter. Now she's more of like playmaker, creator, score. She does everything. She's a great rebounder too. And Juju kind of follows that same mold. There's a lot of usage with Juju, similar to Caitlin, but Juju's a little bit more off the ball. But she's a terrific player, big-time talent. And some of her shot-making, like the tough shots that she shoots and makes, like she's a very efficient player. I know a lot's made of her volume because she does shoot the ball a lot. And very similar to, like, I think sometimes what people miss when they look at a box score and they see, oh, my gosh, she shoots the ball so much. A lot of that is because she can get her own shot. And she can create, and she can create separation and create space because her handle and ability to create is just so high level. She shoots the ball a lot, but she also can create her own shot, and she's that skilled, and she has to be that. So it'll be a tough matchup for Kansas. McKenzie Forbes is also a really good player for USC. I want to mention her as well. She's a very good player. And, you know, USC's a one seed for a reason. They looked good against, I think it was Texas A&M, Corpus Christi they played. And looked really well. So tough matchup for Kansas, but a fun one. And to your point, Stephen, like the women's side of the bracket in this tournament is very good. It was a good win yesterday for LSU. I think that like these teams and these coaches and the players that are in this tournament, there's some drama there, especially as we get further along in the tournament.
But one of the best games I've seen in either tournament so far was last night's overtime victory by Stanford over Iowa State. That game was fantastic. Yeah. Nate Bucati, you want to highlight some local players that we'll see tonight in this Kansas-USC game, by the way, on ESPN and also right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pregame starts at 8:45.
Yeah, we're talking about freshmen here, and Samaya Nichols from KU is a freshman from right here in Overland Park, went to Shawnee Mission West.
Big fan of the show, I'm told.
Oh, man, I would assume so.
No one's told me that, but I'm hoping.
She's averaging, as a freshman, 15 points a game in the first-round game against Michigan. Look at this stat sheet, Stuffer. Jarrett, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. She went 9-10 from the free-throw line. I was looking at it. They beat the number one team in the Big 12, Oklahoma, at the end of the regular season, and she went for 29 points in that game. She went for 20 points against a really, really good Texas team in a loss in the Big 12 tournament as well. So, I don't know, I want to highlight a local product there, Samaya Nichols. I don't know if you have anything to add on her, and I know that's going to be a big, you know, look, they're playing one of the top teams in the country tonight, but thoughts on Samaya Nichols or KU at all?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Samaya, you know, especially just the local name and, the year she's had. And I think Zakiya Franklin would be one I would highlight as well. She's a pretty talented guard herself. I just love her energy. I love how she kind of plays the game. I've seen some clips and highlights of her. In terms of like a guard, she played 44 minutes the other game that they were in, so. You know, clearly she's got to be on the floor for Kansas, and really good scorer. And, guards win in March, and Kansas has a few of them. So I'm excited for Kansas to go up against a team like USC as the underdog. And, you know, I know it's kind of different how the women's bracket does it in terms of it's a, you know, road game for Kansas. But what a place to be in this matchup going against one of the best players in the country.
And you know that women's basketball is peaking in its popularity when Jake is already searching heavily for different prop bets and game lines for tonight's USC-Kansas matchup. He's talked about live betting. He's digging in here. And so, Jake, congratulations. You're in.
Hey, there's money to be made.
Lots to look at. The Juju Watkins over-under, so waiting to hear a number on that, if you can find that.
I'm still looking.
Maybe we'll throw that in.
DraftKings didn't give me one.
Ridiculous.
I can find one.
Wake up, DraftKings.
That's right.
Jared Sutton, let's get into the NCAA men's tournament now. Kansas was up by a point at halftime against Gonzaga. Again, our friend Jake, it got him believing. It got him live betting. It got him feeling good. Then the second half happened, and he no longer felt good. Wrap that up for us. What happened to Kansas against Gonzaga, a Gonzaga team that was not supposed to be as good as previous teams that some people had said was overseeded. Well, they've looked pretty damn good to me so far. And, man, that second half was that was wild to watch.
Yeah, it was. And I think with Gonzaga, a lot's made of, they're not the same Gonzaga team, and they struggled at the beginning of this season. I think the Kentucky game really flipped their season in terms of they're playing so much better than where they were. And I think it's probably Coach Few. I'd have to go back and look at, previous seasons, but he's done a terrific job coaching this team and getting them where they are. Because to your point, they were playing great out in Vegas when I saw them in the WCC. They lost in the WCC final against St. Mary's. But they're playing so much better, and they're getting production from that starting five is solid. And then Braden Huff and Dusty Stromer off the bench. They only play about seven guys, but that starting five they've really leaned on, and Ryan Nembhard is a big reason why. Point guard play is so important. We saw that yesterday with Tyler Kolick, with Marquette, and then Jamal Shedd with Houston, playing the entire game and how important he was in Houston getting over the hump against A&M. Point guard play is so important. DeJuan played well. He had a double-double and was effective, but it just felt like Kansas ran out of gas in the second half. And really the ball screen coverage, ball screen defense, Ryan Nembhard just picked apart Ben Gregg, spacing bigs that can shoot, can be a threat. Ben Gregg's a really good space five, and then Braden Huff is as well. And then Anton Watson is that combo 4-5 that can play both positions. And they play so well off of each other. And I do think Kansas just got Gonzaga playing their best basketball. No excuse, Kansas is undermanned and they're just the depth piece to Kansas. We knew it was going to be a factor. And look, I thought Kansas, in terms of three-point shooting, they shot the ball pretty well. Johnny was good in the first half. DeJuan hit a couple threes. Hunter shot threes. So the shooting piece, that was always kind of the holdup. Can they, be in the game in terms of three-point shooting? But they were out-rebounded by Gonzaga, which I thought was something that Kansas just can't afford. And then the points in the paint. Gonzaga won points in the paint. And to me, those are the two areas Kansas just couldn't afford to lose. And it's ultimately why they lose the game. And obviously the second half, they just didn't make shots. Felt like there was a lid on the rim. But really, it was a little bit of both. They couldn't make a shot. And offensively, they were very stagnant and stale a little bit. And then defensively, they just could not match in the ball screen. I thought just Ryan made so many high-level plays. His brother, Andrew Nembhard, who's now in the NBA, playing really well in the NBA. This is the system that fits the Nembhard brothers. They're just so good in Mark Few's system, and it showed in that game. And Gonzaga is dangerous. I would not want to play them right now. They're playing at a very high level. It's the best they've played all season. Graham Ike was probably the best I've seen them all season. He had 15-9 and was super efficient. So when Gonzaga shoots 60% from the field and 53% from three, that's a pretty good stat line. And they really didn't even get to the free throw line a ton. I appreciate, too, in this game, there was not a lot of fouls. It was a physical first half. Not a lot of foul calls. That's what made the first half so much fun to watch. And then just Kansas couldn't withstand in that second half. And we'll see what happens now moving forward with Coach Self and how he addresses the roster.
I mean, that's the big question, right? I mean, I'm wondering, how many guys are back, even guys that can come back. A lot of questions about Furphy. I'm seeing projections of a late first-round pick, possibly, if he decided to do that. People want to know if Marco Jackson will come back. I think even I'm trying to think of who else has been asked about whether or not they'll come back on the team. But I'm curious your thoughts, Jared, on the comment I've made a couple times today is I feel like maybe the most underrated aspect of what Bill Self has done at KU has been his ability to develop players. Your guy Ochai Agbaji is there at the top of the list. Is that going to be more difficult to do with how easy it is to go hit the portal and all those things for both Bill Self and other teams? Because if he brings in somebody, we saw that. He brought in Hunter Dickinson and Uday immediately transfers to TCU. Is it going to be harder to develop guys, or can he still have that part of his arsenal going forward? And how quickly can he turn this roster over for next year?
Yeah, I I think it's a great point because I think with any team, like I do believe player development still matters within a program. I know it's a little bit different now with the portal and NIL being such a factor in terms of swaying not just players but coaches too. You know, I know a lot of players obviously put their name in the portal. Sometimes, you know, it's coaches really having that exit meeting with players, and there might not be a future for a player. The biggest thing in player development is it's a two-way street. You know, coaches can invest and really try to, like, pump into you in terms of trying to get your game developed and improved and strength and conditioning. Like, the off-season is when players are made. But there has to be buy-in from the player. There has to be a plan in place. And to me, that's where it starts, is are players that, and this is not just Kansas, this is anywhere, are players bought into where they are? You know, are they're 2 feet on the ground, and are they willing to work? Are they willing to accept who they are? Is there self-awareness there? Are they just going to run and put their name in the portal and chase the dollars and not really look in the mirror of what they are and where they need to improve, where their deficiencies lie? Because I think if a coach, especially Bill Self, if a player wants to be there and wants to work and understands that they can't be the same player this year, or excuse me, next year as they were this year, you know, then I think there's more of a willingness for a coach to really say, hey, this player wants to be here. We see maybe where there could be some growth or a future for him. And then you start that development process. Then it starts and begins. But that, to me, is the first question of the buy-in of, you know, does that player want to listen and understand, you know, where their deficiencies are? And then you get to work and you move to you move forward with that. But I think a lot of players that put their name in the portal sometimes, they're kind of running from honesty and what coaches share. And this is kind of where sometimes myself and other scouts come into play, because coaches are going to ask us our thoughts and opinions. And it's on us to be transparent and honest for the coaches so they can give honest feedback. Because some of these guys think they're coming into the NBA draft and they're going to put their name in and, oh, they're going to the next level. And they have a false sense of what they are. And to me, that's where the communication is so important. And coaches have to be honest. Sometimes coaches won't be honest. We have seen stories of that. But that, to me, is where this period is now for teams that have been knocked out and their seasons are done. This is where it starts now. Exit interviews, who's putting their name in the portal. You know, coaches are going to have meetings and evaluations. They're going to self-scout. They're going to look at the roster, and then they're going to move forward from there. And there's just so much conversation now and dialogue. What players are going to enter their name in the draft and get feedback? Johnny Furphy will be one. He's got a big decision to make. You know, he has shown a lot. He is a freshman. He is young. There is areas to Johnny Furphy where he's got to improve. He's got to get stronger, those type of things. But in terms of his size and his athleticism and what this draft is going to be, it is not a top heavy. I think I shared this with you, Nate. It's not a top, you know, heavy draft, but it is a deep draft. And it's gotten better as the year has gone on. And Johnny Furphy is in this conversation.
All right. We've got Jared Sutton. How long do we have Jared for? How long do we have you for, Jared Sutton? Where do you got to go?
I'm available.
Are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
How about a quick break and then come back and do about 10 minutes?
That's perfect.
I'm massaging things on the go. Well, that sounded weird.
Okay.
Because I want to ask you about these games coming up and then a couple of coach hires.
Okay.
All right? Because you've seen all these teams. I ain't seen nothing. You're the man. It's Jared Sutton. That's why we have you on the show. Jared Sutton, basketball insider, NBA, college, high school, grade school, all of it, every level. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Okay, Jared Sutton, before I get your picks for the excellent matchups, no small school Cinderellas, but still wonderful matchups. All these games are Final Four level matchups in the Sweet 16. I did want to get your thoughts about a couple of coaching hires, if you please.
Yep.
There was, and you know, we have a radio station down in Louisville, and so I pay attention to what's going on down there, because at some point, I'm sure they're going to ship me out and say, you're going to Louisville, buddy. We've had enough of you here. And so I'm ready. Whenever, you know what, we'll talk baseball bats and horse racing, and I'm good to go. Boy, Jake really is laughing about that a little too hard. Guess what, buddy? You'll be going with me.
Oh, boy.
That's the last place I need to be.
Well, then it's the first place. You're the first person I'll think of. Dusty May, We saw him have tremendous success at a very difficult place to win, and it appeared like he was going to go to Louisville. That's what a lot of people thought that I followed down in Louisville. It turns out he had his choice of Louisville and Michigan, and he ends up going to Michigan. Number one, does that surprise you? Number two, Jared Sutton, if you were a coach and someone told you, okay, here you go, you can go to Louisville or Michigan, which program would you pick? And then what kind of hire do you think that was?
Yeah, it's a good hire. I think it really came down to what it sounds like was Dusty May making a decision on really Michigan or Louisville. It's kind of between those two. And it kind of came down to it where I think Michigan, in terms of, I don't know what the money was from Louisville and what that looked like, if that was the deciding factor. But it's a great hire. I mean, Dusty's proven a lot in terms of being a head coach and winning. And obviously his work at FAU speaks for itself. He was a good assistant, at Florida and just kind of different stops, UAB, Murray State. So he's had a track record. He's been in the business for a while and really done a terrific job over, the last 6 years at Florida Atlantic. And, I think Michigan was looking to, try to move in a different direction in terms of finding, a guy that might have been, a guy at a lower level and a guy that had won a lot and had proven his work as a coach, knowing that you're going to the Big Ten and a better opportunity in terms of NIL and recruiting. And what that's going to look like now for Dusty as he moves to a different level. But in terms of the two schools, I mean, it was a very unique situation just because everything we had heard or I had heard with Louisville, that's where he was going to end up. And I think Michigan might have got in late. That's how these things go sometimes. And, there's a little bit of a pivot there. And, he ends up at Michigan. So it's a good hire for Michigan and just everything that has gone on with the Juwan Howard situation and, that was a very difficult situation, and Michigan moves on and finds their guy.
If I told you you had your choice of those two programs, which one would you pick?
I mean, I'm a little bit biased just because I spend a lot of time in Ann Arbor. I haven't spent a ton of time at Louisville, and I think with the Kentucky conversation there in Lexington and Louisville. There's a lot of competition there, but also Michigan State as well is very similar. So, in terms of what school, you look at the Big Ten to the ACC, do you have a better chance to win in the Big Ten over the ACC as we've seen with what the ACC is doing in the tournaments? I think they're both great jobs. But ultimately, I would probably choose Michigan just because it's a little bit biased for me just because I've spent a lot of time there. I like Ann Arbor. The great college town, there's a lot of support there, a lot of resources there. NIL is everything in these conversations. Not to say Louisville doesn't have a good NIL program, but you're definitely dealing with a little bit more there in terms of what that looks like from just outside resources. And I think Michigan's just a very stable structure where you can really build if they the AD and the administration is going to give you time. That's always the biggest thing.
And I don't think this is unreasonable, but right now I'm looking through some different tweets from people down at Louisville, and they have their list narrowed down. I think it's reasonable. They have their list narrowed down to Billy Donovan, Jay Wright, or Brad Stevens. And so, I mean, that's, they've got. I'm not kidding.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, it sounds like I'm making that up.
But big names.
Right.
Looking at the tweet right now.
We can all agree.
That's who you call now in that order. Billy Donovan and then Jay Wright. And then Brad Stevens, and
I'm a little surprised they left Bill Self off that list.
Well, no, hey, that's the initial list, man. Just let them get to it. Although one guy is demanding that they go after Rick Pitino and really up this Kentucky and Louisville rivalry, and so that could be something wonderful, right? Now, this I think is really interesting. This impacts the Big 12, and I like this guy a lot, and I'm very impressed by this hire. You tell me, West Virginia. And Darren DeVries from Drake. Yep. And it doesn't hurt that he'll be bringing his son, his 6'7" son, that averaged over 21 points a game this year for Drake. And so that instantly makes West Virginia, I mean, they weren't god-awful this year. But when you upgrade a coach like that and you say, oh, here's my All-American candidate son who can average 21 points a game, That makes him relevant right off the bat. What about that hire?
Yeah. Well, first off, his son can play. Like, Tucker is, you know, one of the best shooters in the country. And I think a name that maybe a lot of, like, casual fans haven't heard of, but he's been such a prolific scorer at Drake and really a great shooter. And, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, taking this job now, I think it's really kind of unique just because Tucker does have, I think, one more year of eligibility, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, a chance for Darren to go and pursue, a bigger job, bigger opportunity. Good fit, I think, honestly, in terms of, yeah, Tucker, and Darren going to West Virginia. But yeah, I think back to, like, Darren was a pretty good player at Northern Iowa, so leaving that conference, and he was an assistant at Creighton, really, you know, kind of was a part of that build at Creighton, and it's kind of had that type of system similar to what Coach McDermott it runs. There's a lot there with DeVries, too, of how he's going to kind of put a system in place, and philosophically they're very similar. So that's what I think is interesting about this hire, is it's much different than like the Bob Huggins era at West Virginia, right? It's going to look different in terms of how they're going to play, which I think is good for the Big 12, because you're adding a coach that I think from a modern day standpoint, how he views the game is what you want in a coach. And he's won a lot. And I think it was time too. Like, he's done a lot at Drake, and he's really been consistent, and just to learn under not just Ray McDermott, Dana Altman as well, like, is in this company, just how the men he's worked for, very similar in terms of how he's going to, you know, bring that style to West Virginia. So I think it's a good hire, good fit. And I think it's something West Virginia, you know, I think needed in terms of find a coach that maybe thought a little differently in how they want to run the program.
And also, I'll just mention this again, C.J. Moore from The Athletic said, if you're Drake, the first call, the only call you make is to Ben McCollum, Northwest Missouri State, who is an Iowa native, and it feels like that could be the job that he was waiting for. I think that would be a tremendous fit from both sides. So let's move on. Let's get your picks now for the Thursday and Friday matchups. Let's roll. Clemson and Arizona, that's the first game to tip on Thursday. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Arizona. I had Baylor beating Clemson, so, I mean, a really good win for Clemson. Very happy for our boy Billy Donlin.
Too, that's right. Associate head coach at Clemson.
Yeah, was head coach at UMKC. Did such a great job at UMKC. But, Brad was kind of interesting. Like, so much was made of his job security at Clemson. Brad Brunell's done such a great job there. And to be in this game, that speaks to what, what the job that staff has done. And, the ACC has done really well in this tournament, and kind of where we're seeing, the Sweet 16 now, ACC, Big East, both those conferences look pretty good right now in terms of, the teams that are in this tournament as we move to the Sweet 16. Arizona's a tough matchup, and Arizona can beat anybody. I saw them lose to Oregon in the Pac-12, and really kind of what it comes down to is Caleb Love is a huge factor. He just swings games with the shot-making. Like, if he's making shots and scoring at all three levels, Arizona's different. Pelle Larsen making shots. Boswell has not played necessarily great, and he was a big part of kind of what they were doing towards the middle portion of January, February, towards league play. But I really think it comes back to really, what Caleb Love can do in this type of game in terms of guard play. Omar Ballo and P.J. Hall will be a good matchup. P.J.'s great, really high-level player at Clemson, went through the draft process last year. I kind of see P.J. Hall similar like Dean Wade when he was at Kansas State, like a big that can step out. He's not as athletic as Dean, but kind of similar skill set, similar game. I think an X factor, though, is Keyshawn Johnson and Jaden Bradley. Like, these are kind of the X factors. Those two guys have played really well and they're role players. But just the roster in terms of, like, pieces, Arizona has more pieces than Clemson. And so that's why I give them the edge. I think this will be a good game. I don't think necessarily Clemson should just be written off in this game. But it's a tough matchup, so I'll go Arizona in this matchup.
boy, Nate woke up when you said X Factor. That's not who he was talking about. That's again, you try to force
surprised to hear him involved in this.
He's
game.
Not. That's the funny thing about it. He's not. Next, hey, a rematch: San Diego State and UConn. One thing we can guarantee: Dan Hurley will be pissed off at someone or something in this game. Who knows what it'll be? I mean, is there any reason to pick against UConn
right
now?
He doesn't like the fact this is an early game.
Right.
He said that.
Screw the NCAA. Yeah. Is there any reason to pick against UConn right now? Just got to keep. You can't pick against them right now. Ever.
No, you can't. I thought it was really interesting just what was said in that UConn locker room about them just blowing teams out and continuing to do that. You know, they got so much firepower. We talked about it. Yeah, I think when you look at just guard play, rim protection, depth, and shooting, like they have so many things that really translate to winning in March. And you know, there's upsets in the first round. We see upsets every year. And then you get to this stage, and it starts to get ironed out of teams that are, like, you know, real contenders. And for UConn to do what they've done, I mean, they've just – every game, it just feels like they're so locked in on both sides of the ball. Donovan Klingon was excellent, I thought, in these first two games. Because Donovan's rim protection, his rebounding – at his size really matters. He changes the game, and I thought he changed the game in the Northwestern game defensively. And they need that from Donovan. He's had some injury issues at the beginning of the year. He's had some big games. He's had some games where he's kind of been, you know, disappearing at different times, and he's just too valuable. But Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Alex Caravan, you know, those guys have really led them from just a guard perspective. And they're playing great ball right now. So I don't think, you know, in a game like this, and San Diego State, give them credit for, you know, I didn't think they were playing that well towards the end of the year. But they're in this matchup. It's a rematch of the national championship game. And I honestly don't think it's going to go any different than it did last year. I just think UConn is playing so well. And I don't think this will be necessarily a game. I don't see how San Diego State can match up with the pieces that UConn has, the size, the shooting. And it just feels like UConn, they won it last year, and a lot of these guys are back. Like, they know what it takes, and they're just not messing around. You know, like, their attention to detail, the valuing of the ball, like, every possession, they're thirsty for the repeat. There's no question about it. And I'm curious to see what team can give them a game. I just don't see it being San Diego State.
So what you're saying is you cannot pick against the Huskies, am I right? Jake says this is the shut up. This is a 2-minute warning, and so we have to do this rapid fire. Are you ready? Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
This is, Nate has put his seatbelt on. He's ready. Alabama, the feel good coach of the century, or North Carolina?
I'm going to go with North Carolina. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's Alabama. I'm, you know, being able to get out of the Grand Canyon game, that was a nervous moment, I think, for Alabama, just because Grand Canyon was a unique matchup for them. They don't really guard that well, and UNC is very physical. R.J. Davis can hoop. R.J. Davis, Mark Spears is a really good matchup to watch for, but Harrison Ingram, Armando Bacot, like Alabama can score, but UNC is pretty good defensively, so I got UNC in this matchup.
Illinois, Iowa State. Ooh,
offense versus defense.
Yeah. So this is the game that I'm, like, most excited to watch.
That's right.
This is going to be physical. The level of compete level from both sides. I was talking to Brad Underwood yesterday, and just interesting to get his perspective of he loves this team, like, loves coaching this team, and you can see it. And there's all these guys that he's – and that's particularly guys that have returned, that are back – you know, Coleman Hawkins is playing well. Terrence Shannon downhill. Iowa State with Lipsy and that defense, how are they going to stop Terrence Shannon? Because Terrence Shannon has scored the ball at such a high level over the last, like, 3 weeks. He's been one of the best scorers in the country. And just a physical shot-making guard. And then they can play off of Terrence, too. There's other factors. They're a good rebounding team. Defensively, they can be physical. So I like this matchup. I have Illinois winning this game. TJ and Iowa State defensively, like, would it be surprising if they got out of this round? No, because they're such a tough out.
All right, less than a minute, so just got to give us the winners. NC State or Nate's favorite, Shaka Smart and Marquette?
Ooh, Marquette. Great run for Memphis.
No, you just got to give the answer. You just got to give the win.
Sorry,
Jerry.
Nate. Sorry, Nate. Gonzaga and Purdue.
I got Purdue. Yeah, I got Purdue winning this one.
Duke and Houston.
I got Houston.
Yes.
Creighton and Tennessee.
I hate picking this one, but I'm going to go Tennessee. And I don't like it, but I'm going to go Dalton Neck, connect in Tennessee.
He's going to connect on some threes, and you think
they're
going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? All right, Jared. So there was a lot to pack into those two segments. You did it. You've done it.
Did it.
You'll do it again.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Jeff.
And we'll talk to you again very soon. And we'll do another episode of House of Hustle on Wednesday. How's that sound?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
That's Jared Sutton. We'll take a break. Back after this to wrap things up. Ooh, let's take a look at that. Screenshot that and text that to me on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, this is good news. So the game I think we're most excited about for the Sweet 16. Do you guys agree? Iowa State and Illinois?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Guess who's on the call of that one?
Gus Johnson.
Kevin Harlan.
Oh, even better.
In your face.
And here we go.
You know what analysts I like? Harlan. I say this every year and I get criticized
Jim
for this.
Jim Sparnicle.
No. I like Steve Lapis.
All right.
It's like there's too many words he's saying for the size of his mouth. He's like, but I like it. He's excited. Yeah.
It's about the tone. He's excited.
Some things he just says, you know.
Yeah.
Look at that, the foul here.
Yeah.
Yes, they're down 5 with 10 seconds left.
People need to know that stuff.
If you get a 3-pointer, then that's going to equal 3 points, which is a lot better than 2.
It's one more than 2.
At this point right now, if you get 2, it's not as many as 3. Thank you, Steve Lapis. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.